This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Rich Nelson. Rich is with Allendale, set to join us in just a moment. First off, Brad Rippey, meteorologist with USDA, outlines a few regions where pastures are in good shape.
There are still several good spots in terms of rangeland and pastures. The West continues to benefit from that wet winter. We see rangeland and pastures at least 60% good to excellent in California, Idaho, and Utah. We also see pastures and rangelands above 70% good to excellent in several southeastern states, including Alabama, Louisiana, and South Carolina. And even in the Midwest, still pretty good up in the far upper Midwest, where Wisconsin leads 69%. Good to excellent.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Rich Nelson. Rich is with Allendale in McHenry, Illinois. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Appreciate talking with you again here. Certainly to look forward to discussing this USDA report here today.
You know, you and I had the opportunity to visit earlier this year at Commodity Classic in Florida. And at the time, the question was, you know, what are we going to see? What will producers put in the ground? Will it be soybeans? Will it be corn? Will it be nothing? For some of the areas that were going through some deep drought, we didn't know whether or not they put anything into the field. So now that we're here into June, before we jump into the WASD, any surprises or did it kind of shake out the way you thought?
You know, for the most part, these numbers from USDA's perspective were moderately changed. And we do have to consider that USDA does have a method, so to speak, especially with corn and soybean numbers. We can say that the wheat balance sheet is more or less live and more realistic. But for the most part, USDA did not offer a lot of surprises. A moderate change for old crop discussions and still on new crop questions. A lot of those we pushed off for future months here.
Well, let's just dive into this. And USDA out each month with their World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates. We commonly just use the acronym WASD. When you kind of break that in down, let's maybe start with the wheat and kind of work our way through the grains and oilseeds.
You know, for the wheat discussion, USDA has some questions for us, especially at this time of year. Keep in mind the old crop marketing year ended on May 31st for old crop wheat. USDA left their estimates for stocks for old crop unchanged on this report. Keep in mind they will be adjusted at the end of this month when they have a quarterly grain stocks report. So that will put the final stamp on the old crop picture for wheat specifically. New crop discussion, they made minor changes here today. They raised their prior estimates of all wheat production by 6 million bushels. They gave a little bit more of it to a hard red, 14, and took a little bit off for soft red and white. So main message for the wheat side, relatively consistent U.S. balance sheet, no major changes. They did add a bit for production for our competitors, though, both Russia, India, as well as Ukraine on this report here.
That's the production. What about the buyers? Do we still have the demand worldwide?
You know, we kind of do, and we do have to make this point as far as the U.S. story specifically, that world buyers are still picking up wheat, but they're not being too aggressive at this point in time with wheat buying in general. And still for the U.S. story, still a concern is we're about $50 overpriced per ton versus France. And heck, if you compare us versus a Russian product being offered right now, it's about $70 per ton. So we do have a problem with tight U.S. balance sheets and tight U.S. supplies. That's true. The problem is, compared with the rest of the world, we still have a little pushback in terms of how much upside we could do on prices right now.
Well, speaking of pushback on prices, we've seen a little pushback, at least on the board, for corn prices. What do we see from USDA's latest numbers?
You know, USDA chose to make some minor changes for the corn balance sheet, but not really change the story yet. Old crop stocks, they were raised by about 35 million bushels on this report, reflecting some problems with export sales, which are quite well known. And there will be future declines for export sales in future reports as well. So they don't have the job completely done there. New crops aside, they did not adjust any of the acreage numbers, and they also did not adjust yields on this specific report. You know, they haven't touched yields too much in June anyway, only five times over the past 25 years. So that will be reserved probably for the July or more likely the August report ahead. So as far as new crop stocks, still implying a large supply waiting for us, over 2.2 billion bushels. The question now is trying to prove risk, weather risk, and trying to peel back some of those bushels so we can have some higher prices in the short term.
Rich, I know that there are some who are kind of questioning USDA, on, especially on the corn side, possibly some a need of some readjustment, if you will. What do you think? What do you see? What are you watching?
So, you know, the argument for lower corn yields is very easy to make. As of last Thursday's drought monitor report, we had 45% of all corn acreage in the U.S. was under one of the more severe discussions on drought, the D1 through D4 level of drought. So the early summer discussion right now is that we have the worst dryness situation in what I'm going to say modern history, 30 years, so to speak, in terms of the corn and soybeans. That's completely true. USDA is still using trend yields, though, 181.5 bushels an acre. The question for us now on this discussion on yields is, we really have to wait till we get towards that pollination weather. That's when yields are really playing off the weather risk on a strong statistical fashion. So we do expect lower yields. The question is how much. And the problem is we still have a little bit of yield premium already involved in today's December corn price. So we really need to push a boulder up a hill, so to speak, to get this corn market at higher prices.
I love that analogy of pushing the boulder up the hill. Are we doing that when it comes to soybeans as far as the current stocks we have and the ability just to find buyers?
And that soybean story is different than corn. You know, keep in mind, we all understand there's a large ending stock discussion. No problem with that argument, just like there is with corn. But soybeans did something different in recent weeks that pushed down on November soybeans to $11.30. That literally priced in trend yield for soybeans. So different than corn, we fully priced in trend yield and big supplies. So the positive thing is, even though USDA still didn't touch the balance sheet too much here today, they added 15 million to the old crop stock number. They didn't really touch yields or acres on today's new crop numbers either. The positive thing is any yield declines off of trend, which most of us can agree on, there's some type of movement there. That goes directly on top of price. So soybeans, different than corn, do have the ability to freely move up as we have concerns recognized on this weather situation.
Now, normally when we talk beans, I think, at least for me, I'm focused on what's happening here domestically. But, man, we got to keep in mind what's happened in South America as well, not only Brazil, but Argentina.
Certainly right. And, you know, USDA recognized another 2 million tons off the Argentine crop estimate. Many people say there's still probably another 2-3 million tons left. So that's still a situation implying still some problems for them to be recognized in their 100-year drought. The problem we have for the U.S. side is the Brazil situation. As it stands right now, Brazil's got a price discount to us, even fully knowing the Argentine discussion. The Brazilian price discount is over $1.70 right now. So the problem for us there is we have 18 weeks of provable history that we're not getting any carryover interest for the U.S. market yet. So I recognize the Argentine story. It's just not something we can trade on positively for us yet.
Let's tee up the cotton as well. I know you and I've had the opportunity to talk about cotton, especially as we were looking at the old crop cotton and just wondering where in the world these extra bales that USDA had said were out there, where they were going to come from. But now our focus really moves into that new crop. Any surprises on USDA's numbers?
You know, not a major surprise. One thing to note here is USDA is still actively trading on what we call a live balance sheet, so to speak. So while some of the corn and soybean numbers are still kind of artificial, it's really early in the year, USDA is actively making changes on the cotton new crop balance sheet here, and they should. They did adjust some higher acreage numbers here today. They offset that with a little yield decline. Main message for us, though, production is going to be picking up a little bit compared to last year. Last year was 14.5 million bales. Now we're looking at 16.5. The positive side is the ending stock issue is really not showing that much of a change. Last year had a very low 3.2 million pound ending stock or million bale ending stock. Now we're only still talking of 3.5. So even though we do have a better yield, a better year in terms of total production due to this higher acreage we have this year, not yields, due to higher acreage, even though with that higher supply discussion, we're not really seeing that much of a change yet on the stock side here.
Anytime we talk cotton and exports, we're definitely talking China. Are they still a player?
Yeah, you know, it certainly is, and that discussion certainly will not be changing here in the very short term at all. One thing to note as far as discussions on the China side here, USDA only made some minor changes for their general view of this new crop discussion with China. They did lower this year's production just a little bit here from last month's estimates. Main discussion point, though, for this very big player on the cotton world is they still do have a slightly tighter supply situation than last year in terms of the stock discussion. So as far as the China news, not a major change in the general story from last month here.
And I know we've only got about a minute, minute and a half left here, but hate to let you go without at least giving you the chance to talk about livestock. What are you watching there, cattle?
Certainly on the cattle side, today's numbers might be surprising from many of us here. USDA added 165 million bushels to this year's production forecast. Keep in mind, a lot of us would question that given our recent news here with the Texas panhandle rains. No doubt about that. But USDA does have some relatively low numbers they're starting out with. On top of that, they're still using a wild 8% cut for next year. So even though USDA added to the supply here this year, it's still not going to be a general discussion for a change here.
All right. Mentioned early on, you're with Allendale, McHenry, Illinois. Obviously, we could drive up to the offices, but probably a whole lot easier to find you on the Internet. How can we do that?
Certainly. A simple website is allendale-inc.com. We've got a simple phone number, which is 1-800-2-MARKET, or they can take a look at us online on Twitter. Both Allendale as well as myself, which is Rich Nelson, MKTS. We'd be happy to help you out here.
Rich, always good to visit with you. Come back and see us soon, will you?
Sounds great. I appreciate it, Tony. Thank you so much there.
Rich Nelson is with Allendale, joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest, Rich Nelson. He's with Allendale in McHenry, Illinois.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Allendale online, allendale-inc.com.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Among the central and southern plain states potentially facing double-digit abandonment percentages of their winter wheat crop, Kansas. And while by USDA crop condition reports, the Sunflower State had a projected lower abandonment rate than neighboring states, Dave Green of the Wheat Quality Council notes,
Kansas seemed to be the vast majority of their wheat acreage was really bad
compared to other winter wheat producing states that had some areas of promising crop potential.
Oklahoma, for example, was really bad in the western part of Oklahoma, the northwest part, and they do have some pretty decent wheat in the center of Oklahoma that was a surprise to them. Colorado, the same. A lot of really bad wheat in the southeast, but in the northeast, they've gotten some rain and are in a little better shape. And the same situation in Nebraska. The area that abuts Kansas is very tough conditions, but when you get into some other areas, they've got a little more hope of some average crop.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.